Hello, it's Ed Gamble here from the Off-Menu podcast that you're currently listening to. I am on tour now. The show is called Hot Diggity Dog. Make sure you go and get yourself a ticket. I'm probably coming to a town near you if you live in the UK and Ireland. And Ireland, Dublin and Belfast. Do go to edgamble.co.uk, buy yourself a ticket, and I'll see you for an evening of Hot Diggity Dog.
Hot Diggity Dog!
Thank you, James.
In the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale platform where each piece is carefully inspected by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. Use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Louis Vuitton, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAG10 for 10% off your first purchase.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Welcome to the Off-Menu podcast, chopping up the melon of the internet and adding it to the fruit salad.
That's a gamble. My name is James A. Caster. We own a dream restaurant. And this time we're still getting used to that second one.
Bit of a clue.
We own a dream restaurant. And every week we invite a guest in to our dream restaurant. And we ask them their favourite ever. Start a main course, side dish, dessert, drink. Not in that order. And there's, I'm all over the place.
Oh, dear me.
This week. Our guest is Nabil Abdul Rashid.
Nabil Abdul Rashid, an absolutely fantastic comedian who I gigged with many years ago and thought this guy's great. And he's gone on to absolutely huge things. He did very well on Britain's Got Talent.
Had the judges roaring with laughter.
Yeah, James has read that off a screen. He's also done Celebrity MasterChef, things like that. But he's just an excellent stand-up comedian, a very, very funny man. And he will be in the studio with us. He's also going on tour, James.
He's going on tour with his show. Purple Pill.
The Purple Pill, Nabil Abdul Rashid. So do go and check out his website for details on that. I'm sure you'll be convinced that you want to go and see him after this episode.
Yes.
But
however,
we'll be giving him a little bit more time to pack for that tour if he says a secret ingredient, which we have agreed upon in advance.
Yes. And this week, the secret ingredient is
purple carrots. Purple carrots. Of course, we've got that from Purple because his show's called The Purple Pill.
Purple Pill. Yes. I like purple carrots.
I like purple carrots, but I find them a little creepy.
Yeah, yeah.
Because you're used to carrots being orange. Mm-hmm. Then you sort of cut into a purple carrot. And I think the first time I did it, I thought, well, it's only the outside that's purple. I'm sure the inside will be white or orange like a normal carrot.
You thought the inside would be orange?
It's purple all the way through.
No, if the outside was purple and the inside was orange, it would look like when you bite into a round cheese fruit pastel lolly.
Yes.
And I don't want it to do that.
Do you not like that?
Well, I don't want a carrot to look like a round cheese fruit pastel lolly.
I think you do.
I take it back. That's right.
I've gaslighted him. Very excited to have Nabil in the studio. I'm on tour as well. Hot diggity dog.
Hot diggity dog.
Edgamble.co.uk for details and tickets. Also, my book's out, Glutton, The Multi-Course Life of a Very Greedy Boy, available from all good booksellers.
A very successful guy.
I'm busy. I wouldn't say successful.
Well, you know.
I've done the things, but, you know, how successful they are is yet to be seen.
It's up to you, listeners.
Yes.
Let's make this boy a success.
Please, make me happy. This is the Off-Menu Menu of Nabil
Abdul-Rashid. Nabil Abdul-Rashid.
Welcome, Nabil, to the Dream Restaurant.
Welcome, Nabil Abdul Rashid, to the Dream Restaurant. We've been expecting you for some time.
I'm sorry that I'm 5 minutes late. But, you know, I'm also sorry to my ancestors that I only arrived 5 minutes late. Normally we're a lot more fashionable with our lateness.
I see. Now, the way James says, I've been expecting you for some time, he always says that to the guests,
yes.
Regardless
I know,
of punctuality.
I like to make things awkward.
Yeah.
Honestly, you should have been at my wedding.
Yeah.
How did you make things awkward at your wedding?
Just kept staring at my father-in-law. Even while I was dancing with my wife, I was just like...
Yeah, that would make things pretty awkward.
Yeah. Did he like it?
I mean, he doesn't like most stuff, so it's kind of odd.
Yeah.
Just different stages of annoyance and irritation.
Yeah.
So normally you'd be later, is that right?
Yeah, but it's not a personal thing. No. Sometimes just for your safety as well. Like, you know, it's better that I come late so that everything is, you know. Listen, if you're looking for logic, you're not going to find it. My ways are mysterious to you.
Yeah.
Sometimes even to me. I'm trying to be better, but like I have this habit of always arriving. Even when I leave extra early for stuff, I always end up arriving just on time or like 2 minutes late. And my agent hates it because no matter when I get briefed for stuff, I'm like, I'll be there, and then. She'll call and she's like, I know you're outside because you're always outside when I call and they're looking for you, but where are you? I'm outside. It's just one of those things. I think it's because I was a really big fan of Batman as a kid.
Yeah.
And like he would always arrive just as the bad guy was about to execute.
Yeah.
So I just thought, in my way, I've saved you.
Yeah, you have saved us.
You're the Batman of comedy.
See, that's what I should have put on my website. Instead, I said I'm the comedian the world needed but never knew they wanted. Yeah, AJ doesn't like that either.
Are you one of those people who says you're outside when you're not as well?
I'm honest.
You are outside.
That's the thing. So, like, for example, I was doing a gig recently and I messaged and said, hey, I'm going to be arriving just before stage time.
Yeah.
So they start getting someone else ready to go on. And I turned up and like, oh, wait, you're here. I said, bitch, I'm going to say I'm not going to lie.
Yeah, but that to me, if someone said that to me and I didn't know about their mysterious Batman ways, I would assume that they're not turning up on time, you know? But now she knows.
Now everyone knows you. Yeah. It's just now public record. Everyone knows that you are going to turn up when you say you're going to turn up. It's just close
just
to the...
Not when you told me that I should. But it's not on purpose.
No.
Right? It just happens that I don't know why.
Yeah.
Always the universe just works in that way.
Yeah.
Even when I was born, I turned up just... Yeah, I don't know that for a fact. I mean, I was there, but I didn't check.
They weren't getting another baby ready to go on before you.
Yeah. I mean, there was a baby before me, my sister, and I hate her.
Yeah.
Like, we don't get on.
But
that's probably what happened. We probably had an agreement, and then she just showed up. Okay, fine. In this case, I was really late because I came 3 years after.
Yeah, well, it wasn't meant to be you the first time, and then you just knocked around in the womb for another 3 years.
Yeah, I mean, I've got big brother energy. You know?
Yeah.
That's why I like fucking with people. It's a big brother asshole in me. You know?
Are you a foodie, Nabil? Would you say that you like food?
You could see me. What do you think? let's just be real here. You know that if I did something wrong right now, and you didn't know me, there's only two ways you would describe me, right? So, you asking me whether I'm a foodie. What's a foodie? A person that likes food. Do you think this happened by accident? Is that what you think that's what this is? Did you really... Like, you know, I just had an extra donut a couple hundred thousand times. By the way, I don't actually eat donuts.
No.
Because of toxic masculinity.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Why is that?
So... I'm from northern Nigeria, and Allah Jaza, I'm in Arewa. Sorry, that's for my people.
Yeah.
You're safe now. When the revolution comes, you'll be given a head start and a stick. Also, I'm from northern Nigeria, and we are like most of the army for the majority of Nigeria's inception has come from my part of Nigeria. Most people don't know much about us. In fact, sadly, currently, we're only known for two things, which is Boko Haram and me. You know, as you can imagine, Boko Haram is a very tough act to follow.
Yeah.
Very, very, very tough act. You know, they always bomb. Cheap, I know. Our culture, apparently, we're farmers and soldiers and that sort of stuff. So everything around our culture, like as a growing up as a young boy, like you get given food, eat it, it will make you strong.
Yeah.
What? It will make you strong. Why are you opening your eyes? Why you say that? Because I'm strong. Okay, I don't want, you know, and if you eat anything sweet, you were told as a boy that sweet things were for girls.
Uh-huh.
And like people would say it with so much conviction, like it was scientifically proven. Uh-huh. Like, what? Why do you want that sweet? What are you, a girl?
Uh-huh.
I'm not a girl. Yeah, then why do you want something sweet? Because everyone knows the sweets are for girls.
Right.
Yeah, you give it to them on their birthday when they're angry with you. That's how it works. And I thought, yeah, that makes perfect sense.
Yeah, yeah.
So growing up, like, we just didn't have a lot of sweet stuff, right?
Yeah.
So now, even now, because like my wife is South Asian and they have like a big culture of desserts, I kind of hear my uncle in my head, what are you doing? It's a trap. It's for her. So, I'm working through that. But unfortunately, I struggle with sweet stuff. I do like sweet stuff, but I feel bad right after, even though I shouldn't.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Oh, it's interesting. Yeah.
It's been drilled into you. I mean, it's a tense episode for me then. I'm a big dessert boy.
Yeah.
I love it when people, you know, make a good...
No such thing as a big dessert boy in Northern Nigeria.
Yeah, there you go. It's not. I get turned away.
That's big dessert boy. That's, I'm trying to think how I would even translate that in my language. Actually, yeah, probably I wouldn't say it, but yeah. probably a couple words for that. I love food. I think it's amazing because it's the quickest way you can share your culture with someone. Mm-hmm. Like, I can't teach you my language in a day or my history, but I can make you taste it. And in the food that comes from, because you eat what you grow, essentially. There's a reason why our diets are the way they are. Mm-hmm. So like if I make a dish from my part of Nigeria, for example, there's a whole history as to why we eat like that, where the ingredients come from, when we eat those things and why we eat those things on specific dates. So that's something that I really love about not just my culture's food, but all food. I like what it represents.
Well, let's start. We always start with still or sparkling water.
Ah, still. Still water. I can't drink sparkling because I believe it's regular water that the Illuminati farted in.
Illuminati farty?
Illuminati farty.
Yeah. I had an Illuminati farty party.
Yeah, exactly. Yes! You know! I've been telling you for a long time. Wake up, sheeple! Wake up! And don't eat broccoli, it's man-made.
Yeah. Broccoli's man-made?
Yeah, it is. It's not real.
Yeah.
It's not real.
Where's your, what are your sources for the broccoli's man-made?
Google it now. Broccoli is a man-made. Benito's
currently Googling.
But what do you mean by man-made? It comes out of the ground, right?
It does now.
Yeah.
Interested.
But so were you saying it's been like synthesized in a lab?
It was made in a lab by a bunch
Ben's
of liberal scientists. Trying to turn us into communists. Wake up. God damn it.
I'm willing to wake up. I just need to know what I'm waking up.
The truth is out there, sheeple.
Benito's Googled broccoli man-made.
Yeah.
Top hit, is broccoli man-made? Contrary to the claims of some skeptics, broccoli is not a genetically modified or man-made vegetable. It is a naturally occurring plant that belongs to the same family as kale, cabbage, and cauliflower.
Lies! Lies! He switched it before I came here because he knew. I thought you would understand. I thought there was a chance, but you fell into the trap.
Yeah.
But now we've got backgarden.org.
Oh, yeah.
Is the answer.
Truthers.
In 2020, December 2020, and it was updated this year. It's broccoli man-made. And they are saying, the short answer is, yes, broccoli is man-made. Broccoli, as we know it, did not always exist as a plant, but was created by humans through an extensive process. It is not known exactly how many years ago broccoli emerged, but it is believed that early varieties of this plant appeared more than 2,000 years ago. That's Jesus times.
Yeah.
No, that's post-Jesus, actually. When 20, this is like 20 years after Jesus, they made broccoli. Do you think that's a coincidence, Nabil?
No. So, I told you people, the truth is out there.
You don't trust broccoli because it's man-made, and you don't trust sparkling water because it was made at an Illuminati farty party.
And it makes you get sharty.
So it's got to be still water all the way.
It's got to be.
Now, you're drinking a 7-Up there. Who's done a farty in that?
What you need to understand is that to help the sheep, you must become like a wolf, but still be among the sheep.
Yes.
You must be a sheepdog.
Sheepdog.
I'm deep undercover, bro.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm trying to find out how they think.
So you know asleep. That you're drinking farts right now.
Synthesized farts.
Yeah.
Because it comes with a flavor.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
But water on its own,
that's just
with gas in it,
yeah,
that's an affront to God.
Yeah.
Could you imagine it raining sparkling water?
I quite like that, actually.
You deviant.
Fizzy water. Fizzy rain.
So acid rain.
Yeah, I'd love that.
Bad.
That just sounds like a very, very bad remix of a Prince song.
Fizzy rain.
To be honest, every remix or cover of a Prince song is bad.
Yeah.
And done by the Illuminati and pharma companies.
So you think Big Pharma are covering Prince songs and putting them out? And what's the aim there? They're trying to like devalue his legacy?
I've said too much.
You know who invented broccoli? A Big Pharma.
Now, Ed doesn't do jokes like that very often, Nabil. What do you think of him? He did a proper...
It's very telling that he's trying to cover things up.
Yeah, yeah.
A Big Pharma, do you understand? So it's I've changed the meaning of pharma. It's mean.
I'm well aware of what you did there. I think you'll find for a profession. Listen, you're stealing the truth.
Yeah.
You're stealing the truth.
I'm willing to believe that sparkling water has Illuminati farties in it. I am. And I, you know, still water is the way to go.
I'm just checking to see if that water fizzes, brother.
No, that's still water.
Ed's drinking a glass of water at the minute, and Nabil's got his eyes firmly glued to the glass.
Yeah. Mm. We can get you still water
in
the dream
restaurant. We must stay focused, my brothers. We must stay focused.
Pop lobs or bread? Pop lobs or bread, Nabil and Bill Machine? Pop lobs or bread?
Bread.
What have the Illuminati done to the pop lobs?
I'm just very militant, so I don't like crackers.
Yes.
You can't give Big Pharma nothing and then give the crackers joke a round of applause.
I liked it.
Yeah.
I liked it
as well, but I like the Big Pharma joke, and you guys gave me absolutely fuck all for
rubbish.
That.
Comedy isn't a meritocracy. How did you learn?
So you say bread, but it depends.
It depends. Like, are you talking about naan bread? Because actually, there's a type of bread I want to talk about today that we've got, but that would probably work well as a starter.
Right.
So yeah, we've got like, there's different versions of bread. You can have naan bread, I guess. You could have like a paratha, or you could have like a vichu roti. Oh, vichu rotis are amazing. I don't know if you guys have had Ramesh on.
Yeah, we have.
Did he mention vichu
roti? I don't think he did.
Everything he mentioned was fried.
Yeah, everything mentioned was deep fried, yeah.
That means he hates you. If he didn't mention vichu roti, it's like, imagine heaven stretched out into a thin dough. And just made into, it's just so good. It's like a roti, but with the same kind of consistency as a pancake. It's so soft.
Ooh. Oh wow!
Yeah, and like if you've ever had Malaysian food, because they have a thing called roti canai that they eat with their curries. It's a similar sort of thing, or like a trini roti. So it's not tough. It's really soft. Those are very nice. Yes, nice. I like.
And would you choose that for your bread course then, or is there anything else in the running?
My bread course, this has nothing to do with my mains or my side dish or my starter.
Yeah, whatever you want before the meal.
Whatever.
I'd have a roti canai, love roti canai. So could I get the curry with it as well?
Oh, is that interesting.
I respect that loophole. Yeah. If you want a little...
We can bring you a little bowl of curry, I think. Yeah.
I love Indonesian food, Indo-Malaysian food. Mm-hmm. I love, and I discovered it by mistake, you know?
Yeah? What was the mistake?
All right, this is, I've never told anyone this story before, but I was a debt collector for a while. And one of the guys that I used to debt collect with was a martial artist. And in a situation, which I will not go into detail about, I saw him do some weird shit to this guy. Not in a sexual way, but it could have been, to be honest. It was so fast. poor bastard had no chance, man. It was just. It was like Jason Bourne shit, but it was so fast. Yeah. And there was no one shaking any camera. Like, this guy did real life shaky camera Jason Bourne shit to someone in a perfectly legal situation.
Yes.
And I was like, yo, what the hell was that? And he said it was Penchak Silat. I'm like, what the hell is Penchak Silat? He's like, it's this Indonesian, Malaysian martial art, and you can learn it from. And then I was like, who taught you? He's like, oh, a guy called Steve. I'm like, fuck off. But then we meet these people who train Silat, And, you know, I got into, I've always been into one martial art or the other since mm-hmm. childhood. Because I got diagnosed with ADHD when I was really young mm-hmm. And asthma, right? And they were like, a good way to work with both issues was to channel my mind and stuff into martial arts. So I've always had an acute fixation with martial arts and movement and stuff. Mm-hmm. So I went with him when we trained with this guy. So this guy immersed himself in Indo-Malaysian culture. So we had the food, we were learning the culture, the traditional, all of it. And I discovered so many amazing dishes. Like I always describe, like my mom asked me why I like our Malaysian food. I'm like, it tastes like Chinese food cooked by a Nigerian. Like the kind of spices and flavors. And yeah, and that's how I discovered, you know, they have a dish that's like jollof rice called nasi goreng.
Yeah.
Yeah, they've got like char kway teow, the flat noodle, which is a lot like a pad si ew or a pad thai. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so they've got their own version of that. It's just so cool, so much interesting stuff. And there's a lot of similarities between their food, our food, and Filipino food.
And if you hadn't seen someone get beaten up, you wouldn't have taken
it. I never said he was beaten up.
Yeah. No.
Said he did some weird shit.
Yeah. That could have been sexual.
Well, that sounds like a great bread course. Yeah. I love it.
So what's the little bowl of curry that's coming with it? What?
So curry ayam, I mean, I can actually make a decent curry ayam, you know? But like a lot of the time, if you have it as a starter or just as a side, there's no meat in it. But the sauce itself, mainly it's from chili paste, tamarind, coconut milk, onion. They'll normally shred a bunch of onion, garlic, galangal, which is this weird, almost bastardized ginger-garlic combination thing that smells amazing. Uh-huh. They make that into a paste, fry it, add in your chili, add in your onions, curry leaves. Then they have a special curry powder that they make, which is a pain in the ass to make yourself, so you might as well just buy it from the supermarket. They throw in some palm sugar, coconut milk, cook it just till it congeals a little bit. You can see a little bit of oil separating. And like a lot of the time, they can make it with fish, chicken, or curry. And it's very unique to most curries. Like most curries are a savory affair, but the Indo-Malay curries have like a nutty sweetness to them as well as spicy. And it's just amazing. If you're someone that doesn't want to have, because like, and I can say, you know, Indian food, Indian curries are great, but they can be heavy on the belly. Mm-hmm. But Indo-Malaysian curries, for some strange reason, just don't have the same effect mm-hmm. On your gut. And I think it's because they don't use ghee and stuff. Because mm-hmm. like, I think the Majapahit Empire passed through that part of Asia, and they brought their Indian influences in food, but then the Chinese influences also kind of remained as well. So it's like a marriage of the two. But each country you go to in that Golden Triangle area, they have a different ratio of like indigenous, Indian, Chinese. So like in Malaysia and Indonesia, there's still like a very strong Chinese element. But then as you go further down, some parts of these countries, it's a much more Indian. The Philippines, it's more indigenous, but there's still elements. So yeah, sorry, I love food.
This is great. This is absolute. Yeah. We got a foodie in the house.
Yeah, yeah. that sounds delicious. And I never knew everything you just said. So
broccoli's man. And also, if you want to try good Indonesian, Indo-Malaysian food, Rasa Sayang, which is literally a straight line from Soho Theatre, it's in Chinatown. Amazing.
Great.
Oh, great.
Or Uncle Lim's in Croydon.
Or your dream starter.
My dream starter. Okay, now, because I'm homesick, because like my mom's just come over from Nigeria. Mm-hmm. So I grew up in northern Nigeria in a place called Kaduna, from the word kada in my language, which means crocodile. And Kaduna means loads of crocodiles, because apparently before human beings kind of settled there, it was just crocodiles.
Wow.
And we live near a river. Like Nigeria itself is named after rivers. So there's the River Niger, and you know who came over and drew a line around this river and called it the Niger area. Uh-huh. And then they couldn't be bothered to give us a proper name, so it just called Nigeria. So we're near one of the rivers that offshoots from there called River Kaduna, which is, again, river of loads of crocodiles. Uh-huh. So we love seafood and we love barbecue. So to start off the meal, I would say we do this thing called balangu. Now, it's not goo, don't worry. It's if you drive down the streets of northern Nigeria, you will find people like roasting a whole lamb or a whole sheep or a whole goat. And it's roasted a very specific way, smoked for hours. And then you pick what part you want and they slice it off. into a newspaper. You have to get it in a newspaper. Yeah. Right? On a plate, it's just not the same. And then they sprinkle a special chili powder on it called yaji and give you like some salad, red onions on the side. And now there's this special, I don't know what it's called, it, bread or cake you can have with it called weina or masa, the different words you can use for it. And it's made from fermented yogurt and rice paste, yeast and a bit of sugar. And then it's cooked in like, it almost looks like the sort of thing you make cupcakes in, but you cook it over a fire. And it's a little bit crunchy on the outside, but super soft on the inside. You can make it for meat dishes. It's slightly different. And then you can also have it with savory dishes, stews and soups and stuff. So what they'll do is they'll get those little rice cakes. They look a lot like, they look like crumpets.
Yeah. Right.
They look like crumpets, but they're whiter. They just cut them into squares and sprinkle it over your balangu and your chilies. And that is perfect starter.
Oh, man.
And you can have fish balangu. You can have, then there's also something called suya. I know you must have, I'm sure you've had Nigerians on here before.
Yes, so. We've spoken about suya before. Yeah.
But if they're not from the north, what they call suya is fake. Because we created it, right?
Yeah.
Everyone bites our culture, but they don't like it. So like traditional suya, it has to be made with a marinade made from nuts and beans and paste and nut oil. So you guys use so much nuts and you're cooking in Nigeria. What about Nigerians who have nut allergies? They're extinct. It's culinary Darwinism. They're extinct. But you must try it. Honestly, suya and balangu normally will be sold side by side. Yeah. So suya is meat on sticks.
Yeah.
And then you'll have like a whole fish. And we have I surrender chicken, which is basically chicken that's like this.
Yeah.
We call it I surrender or I swear to God. And you grill it and it gets cut. You have like a little mixed grill situation.
Yeah.
And that is the perfect starter.
Wow. So are you having just the lamb or the lamb and the chicken and the fish? Or
I mean, I'm assuming we're having this meal together.
Well, we can do.
Yeah, we can do.
If that's your dream.
If meals are best shared. I don't like eating by myself.
Yeah.
So, you know, I would say, I would get that. So, and a mixture of different things just so we can try it. Because even the offal in the cow is, or the goat or whatever, is grilled the same way.
Yeah.
And all of you are like, ugh, I would never eat intestine. But then you actually try it. It's like, that's not bad.
Yeah.
And besides, it's in sausages and stuff, so.
You should eat the whole animal if you're gonna.
I'm big believer in that. In fact, I went back home on Eid. And so we have a sultanate in northern Nigeria. And they stretch back like even around the time of the Ottoman Empire, they never interfered. They respected our emirates. So, like, we're predominantly Muslim, like 90-something% Muslim in the north. I think we're the last people to hold our traditional rulership. All the invaders that came to Nigeria could not destroy the empire. It stretched from northern Nigeria to Ghana, to Sudan, parts of Morocco, like really, really huge empire. So I speak the widest spoken language in West Africa, second widest spoken language in Africa. There's actually a BBC whole service in my language, Hausa. So we had sultans and emirs who ruled over us in traditional rule, and the English could not get them out of traditional rule or make us stop practicing our faith. So they had to compromise with the North and say, okay, look, we'll rule you guys indirectly because we're tired of fighting. Just how about that? And we're like, okay, fine, because we're tired of dying. And so they still maintain that rule. So even though there's a democracy in Nigeria, our traditional rulers still have some level of power in the north. And every year we have like a legendary king who went on this battle and he took out all the corrupt rulers in the north. He went by horseback with a bunch of his relatives and they cleaned the north of like despotic rulers. I wish he'd come back and do it again. But every year on Eid, they reenact this legendary mission he went on and his descendants sit down in chairs and the best horse riders do it. They charge towards the royal family and stop within feet.
Yeah.
And the king never flinches, never moves. It's just like big thing. And then my grandfather was our second ever high commissioner to the UK and he nearly got killed in a coup. But because he grew up with the guy who was king at that time, long before he became king, that king lied and said that my grandfather was part of the royal family. So you can't, you know, you can execute democratic rulers, but you cannot touch royalty. So they let my granddad go, even though he wasn't royal. So as a mark of thanks until this king now has passed away, rahmullah. But up until his death, we would go every Eid to visit him. I can actually show you a picture of me and him.
Wow.
But like we would go to say thank you. I'd go with my mom, and then they'd give us like a ram or a goat or something to slaughter for Eid. Uh-huh. And this last trip I went with my mom, we got given a ram and I named him Rambro.
Yeah.
like, you know, there's this thing that rams do where they stomp their feet on the floor and point their head to challenge you. And like this guy kept on trying to escape from the boot. So like we went back and he untied himself somehow. And then he like challenged me to a duel. I didn't oblige. We tied him back up. We stuck him in the boot. And when we got back home, like we fed him and fattened him up. Uh-huh. For like a week before, you know, the inevitable.
Yeah.
And, you know, I had a bond with this animal. And I uh-huh. feel like if you can't kill an animal, you shouldn't eat one.
Uh-huh.
And waste not, you know. So we used the skin to make a rug. We used different ligaments for string instruments and things. Wow. There's people that come and collect it. Everything from the animal had to be used. Uh-huh. And you know what? Out of respect, I made sure I seasoned him properly when I could.
Yeah.
It's the least I could do. You know, but like, at all, I'm like, oh my God, I could never, like, you know, I saw an animal, like, or they see fish, like, they go to these places where you get live fish and then they can't eat the fish.
Yeah.
To me, that's hypocrisy. You should be able to.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
You know, because if everything went to pan tomorrow, you know, eventually Tesco's and stuff would be empty. You'd have to hunt and kill your own meat.
Yeah, you say the chicken is surrendering.
Yeah, exactly.
Are all the other animals in that position when they're on the side of the road? It's a little flippers on the fish.
Well, actually, tell you what. Where's the ram's upside down, so it's kind of like a...
Yeah. Well, that's proper surrender if it's upside down.
Yeah, well, I mean,
If you were in a war, you were like, come out of here. And they came out standing on their hands with their legs in the air. I go, yeah, they're proper surrendering, those guys.
Or trying to plan.
You'd think that's a plan.
I mean, if you had a road rage incident, the guy got out of the car doing a handstand. Especially in Brazil, because they got like the capoeira.
Yeah.
I'm getting back in my car.
If it was that guy you used to work with and he got on his hands, you'd be like, no way.
I'm about to get...
That guy's about to kill me or fuck me.
About to turn me into a...
But I'm not even going to know.
It'll be too quick.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Today's episode of Off Menu is sponsored by Aura. James, are you ready to win Mother's Day?
I am, Ed. I want to cement my reputation as the best gift giver in the family. I'm going to give my mom an Aura digital picture frame preloaded with decades of family photos.
May I say, James, I absolutely love the class and elegance with which you use the word mom, because this is for US listeners.
All of your moms deserve a good Aura digital picture frame preloaded with decades of family photos.
Yeah, I think your mum's going to love looking back on your childhood memories, seeing what you're up to today, seeing what you're up to back in the day, and even better, with unlimited storage and an easy-to-use app, you can keep updating mom's frame with new photos, so it's the gift that keeps on giving, James.
Ed, answer me this. Who is the best gift giver in your life?
I'd probably say my wife is a very good gift giver. Not that my mom is not a fantastic gift giver, but my wife's very good at little surprise things. She says, I've only got you a few things, and then there'll be little surprises, things that we've seen throughout the rest of the year. I'll say to my wife, I like that, and then I forget about it. And then on the day, there's some lovely little gifts there for me that remind us of the year that we've just spent together.
Oh, if you like being reminded of stuff, May I suggest photographs?
That's a very good point, James. I think we should get ourselves an Aura digital picture frame and put some of our wedding photos on them.
Right now, Ed, Aura has a great deal for Mom's Day, Mother's Day. Listeners can save on the perfect gift by visiting auraframes.com to get $30 off plus free shipping on their best-selling frame. That's AURAframes.com. Use code OFFMENU at checkout to save. Terms and conditions apply.
Your dream main course.
My dream main course. Chee-hoo! Okay. Man, there's so many runners up. I was thinking like Ofada rice is one. I don't know if you've ever had that.
No.
On here, but Ofada rice is it's a special grain of rice grown in Nigeria, but there's a story behind it. So like a lot of soldiers were deployed in World War II from Nigeria. Say deployed, forced. Well, you know. They were convinced to go fight for queen and country. They were deployed to Burma. My great uncle was one such person. Mm-hmm. He was deployed in Burma, and he had a lot of funny stories there. Apparently, he got married out there. And then anyway, so a lot of people lived out there and learned how to like grow certain crops, and they came back with a species of rice from Burma, and they crossed it with Nigerian rice. And one of the breeds of rice that exists now is Ofada rice, which is a distinctly pungent rice, and it's very heavy. So like a kilo kg of Ofada rice looks a lot smaller than a kg of regular rice, and it takes a lot longer to boil. But it's supposedly something a hipster would call a superfood. Wow. You know, like it's packed with all kinds of nutrients and stuff. And the Nigerian army brought it back, and we eat it with a stew called ayamashe or designer stew, which is made from an ungodly amount of chilies, like scotch bonnet. Like Nigerian food is hot, I'm sure you realize that, but this is food so hot that even most Nigerians think, yeah, you can only have that like once in a month or something. Like it's super hot. So it's you make a stock from goat meat, right, put it aside, and then you blend about 6 green bell peppers, about 6 red onions, and about 14 or 15 scotch bonnet chilies, some ginger, some garlic. You then fry it in palm oil, and of course, ethically sourced palm oil, because in Nigeria, our palm oil is gained simply. We don't burn orangutans to get it, please. Thank you. So I have to say that because I did Celebrity MasterChef, and I used palm oil.
Yeah.
So I commented, "You monster!" I'm like, "Did you even read where I got the palm
oil?" Yeah, sure.
Just to preempt that.
Yeah.
And you fry it in palm oil. You probably will cough for a little bit and cry.
Yeah.
And your life will flash between your eyes. You then add the stock back in. You can roast your meats before you put them in the sauce just to give it a little bit of crunch. And you serve it over Ofada rice with some fried plantain on the side. And traditionally what we would do is we would wrap it in banana leaf for a little bit before opening it, and you eat it in a banana leaf.
That sounds so good.
So that would have been my main. But I thought... You guys already had Nigerians here.
Yeah.
And like, while that is Nigerian, it's not distinctly Northern Nigerian. So I would go for something Northern Nigerian. Something distinctly Northern Nigerian would be mia and taushe. So mia means source of, and taushe is pumpkin. And like, with a lot of Nigerian foods that like, will have like a basic, like how Cajun cooking has like a roux, or whether we, or Jamaicans have green seasoning. We, we have a thing where we'll blend onions, tomatoes, chilies, and so on together. And then what we do is, again, we'll boil a meat of choice, keep the stock, and while you're boiling the meat, you also boil a pumpkin, right? Carve out the insides, and you fry your sauces in your oil, add in the mash from the pumpkin, and then very, very specific raw organic peanut butter that we make, and you add it in and toss your meats in. And we can eat that with ground rice. Have you ever had brown rice or seen it?
I don't think I have.
It's kind of like, you know how you've got like mashed potatoes and stuff? So we have similar concepts in Nigeria where we can do it with rice. We can do it with yam, plantains, but it's still like it's a general term. You could call it swallow or fufu. And you can use your hands to eat it.
Yeah.
So we have those in the north. We can make it from rice. We can make it from maize, flour, semolina. Pick your poison, really. And we would eat something like that with mian taushe, and it's a sweet, nutty, spicy dish. It's amazing. Last time I went home Like, aunties kept on sending it. My wife did not complain. You know, honestly, it's amazing. And also, you have to have like a bit of spinach or kale in there as well.
Mm-hmm.
Once it's done, you just put a bunch of spinach in there and it wilts, and it's a delicious dish, man.
Oh, sounds
I've never heard of that before.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll show you a picture.
That. You're right that we haven't had that. I don't know if we'd had a fud of rice before. Maybe we hadn't.
Yeah.
But, like, we definitely haven't had meat and tail shave before.
Yeah.
Yeah, that is... Yeah, I wish there was a way I could describe how it tastes, because it's so good and it's so different.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the pumpkin and peanut butter in there and then... Yeah. All the, oh, that sounds so good.
That sounds like the kind of thing you'd buy from Marks and Spencer's, Ed.
I was just thinking, I wonder if Marks is doing it.
Some peanut butter. You'd love that.
Well, tell you what, I've walked through places like Waitrose and Marks and Spencer's, and I'm like, you know what? Posh white folk do eat a lot like Africans, though, because like, I saw a container of goose fat, and I'm like, we use fats as well,
yeah,
as a replacement for oil and things like that. So, yeah, I'm like, hey, I guess we're not so different after all.
Your dream side dish.
Chee-hoo. Has anyone here mentioned moi moi to you before?
No.
No.
Really?
No, I don't think so.
You've had Nigerians on here, they haven't mentioned moi moi?
No, I don't think they have.
Bunch of plastic Nigerians. What the hell, man?
Normally.
I bet they came here and then they would somehow talk about jollof. I'm not even going to talk about jollof.
We often get bogged down in the jollof wars.
The
yeah.
Ghanaian versus Nigerian jollof rice debate. Yeah.
Silly. That's the kind of Nigerians that argue, and the kind of Ghanaians that argue about that stuff.
Yeah.
Would need Google Maps to find a way around if they went back home, is what I'm saying. That is the most basic aspect of our cuisine. The most basic. Like, it's bloody rice, bro. It's rice. I mean... Yeah, and the thing is, neither of us invented it. Uh-huh. Senegal did. But, like, right. You know how stupid we must look to Senegalese people? I'm a version of this Senegalese dish. But shut up, man. No. Honestly, I love jollof rice, right? Yeah. But it's like African food 101.
Yeah.
Like, if I had the friend that I'm not sure of, like, he's invited to the cookout, but I'm still not quite sure, I would give him jollof. Like, that's the most basic African dish, right next to white rice and stew. Right? It's just basic. And then when I think your levels, then I might introduce you something like pounded yam and egusi soup or, you know, something like that. But jollof, that's like arguing about who makes fish and chips better. It's the most basic dish. It's good. It's better than all other rice dishes. You know, even Ghanaian jollof rice is better than 90% of rice dishes.
Mm-hmm.
Ghanaian jollof rice is brilliant. It tastes almost like the real thing. You know? But now, in all seriousness, it's down to who cooks it.
Yeah.
You know, and plus, Nigeria, we've got 300 tribes. Everybody makes it different.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I would say ours is the best because we are the closest to the originators, the Senegalese.
Uh-huh.
Culturally, we're very similar to them. But then there's people from my tribe in Ghana too. So,
right.
So yeah, I make fun of Ghana because it's a national requirement. But honestly, I have no dog in this fight.
Yeah.
Chill out, friend. But yeah, moi moi is moi a moi. Good side dish, or akara, similar thing. So you get beans ground into a paste, and you can get put in like a boiled egg in there or whatever you want in the paste. Put it in a mold and steam it, and it comes out like this really high protein bean cake type thing. Or you can fry them and it becomes like buns, but it's made from beans.
Wow.
And in Brazil, they're eating as well, and they're called akara. But you have to go to Bahia, northern Brazil, because, you know, a few 100 years ago, a bunch of West Africans were digging there on work experience. And it was quite an experience and lots of work. And but like a lot of traditional Nigerian cuisine or West African cuisine can be found in Brazil, even other parts of South America. I think other South Americans have something called tamales.
Mm-hmm.
And again, it's a very similar sort of thing. So again, you could boil it in a mold, or if you want to be super traditional, banana leaves.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. You boil them on the side. Thing is, if you eat all these things in combination, you're going to fart yourself into orbit.
You're eating this meal, you want to make sure you're not doing anything for the rest of the day, right? You can't.
Okay, I'm going to ask a question, right? Just Mm-hmm. I don't do toilet humor.
Sure.
But I just want to know if it's only me.
Yeah.
Have you ever farted so hard that it pushed your balls?
Pushed them where?
Like you were sitting down and like, because yeah. you were sitting down, your balls kind of like pushed your balls to get...
I've not noticed that.
You've never done a ball tickler fart?
I've probably done a tickler, but I've not pushed my butt. I don't.
No, like, I didn't push. The fuck came out.
Yeah, but sure. Yeah,
there
yeah.
There was so much power.
But that's what I mean.
Have you watched Dragon Ball Z?
But I've not seen much Dragon Ball Z.
No.
You know about the spirit bomb.
No. I don't know. About
I don't,
the
but
bomb.
I think I know where you're going with it. But I don't think. I think I've probably felt the fart on my balls.
But it didn't push.
It didn't move the balls.
Feel the move.
If you see what I mean. Is that what happens in Dragon Ball Z?
No.
As they fart and push each other's balls around?
I mean, maybe off camera, but they have like these these massive fireball things that they do.
Yeah.
It was like that on farts. Like I had to stop what I was doing and take a few minutes to just collect myself. And
have you been eating moi moi? Is that what has
yes.
done it? Yeah, yeah. Your dream drink.
Now this is tough. My wife's already probably angry with me because I've not put in anything from her culture. But there's one thing of hers that... So there's three runners-up, right? Uh-huh. There's a drink called Zobo, or Sobo, and it's made from boiled hibiscus leaves, like dry, really dry from the hibiscus flower, boiled with ginger, cloves, cinnamon, and some other shit. And it's boiled till the color is extracted into the water,
uh-huh.
and then you add a bit of sugar and mm-hmm. maybe some vanilla flavoring, and it... Once chilled, that drink is probably one of the best things I have ever tasted in my life.
Oh.
Right? Like, I don't do alcohol. I've never tasted alcohol in my life. But if that drink was intoxicating, I'd be Barney Gumble. Like, it's that good. So that there's that. Then there's a Nigerian Chapman drink, which till today, nobody is sure exactly how it's made.
Right.
And it was around for a specific period. Only one restaurant anywhere outside of Nigeria makes it, and it's called Enish.
Oh, yeah. We've heard about that on the podcast before.
Yeah, I'm convinced that there's like a witch doctor there who just opens up a portal and it bleeds into a jug because, honestly, I don't even know how to describe it. It's like we would try and make our own. Like, we'd try and mix like Fanta and Coke and then put some grenadine in it or something and lemon. But like cucumber, all I know is that cucumber is an essential part of that drink.
Mm-hmm. Right, okay.
Yeah, Nigerian Chapman. And obviously, non-alcoholic version. I know there's an alcoholic version.
Mm-hmm.
Nigerian Chapman is another drink so good that I'm convinced it must be really bad for you because there's no way God will allow such a thing to exist and taste that nice. And it's harmless. It probably shaves years off your life. I don't know what it is. I don't know.
Yeah.
But it's really good. So there's that. Then there's Mango Lassi, which is, you know, anyone who's ever, you know, stumbled into an Indian restaurant at some point and asked for something to help with the spiciness of their food knows about lassi. And that drink's amazing, and it's also great for your bowels.
Yeah?
Yeah, it's fantastic.
Why are you looking at Benito for 5 minutes and nodding?
He looks constipated.
Yeah, give him the tip. Little tip for you.
There's nothing coming out of that. His balls haven't moved in years.
No.
Yeah.
Station me.
Don't worry. He might be saving it up for that one day.
Yeah.
One day.
Nigerian wedding day.
Yeah. So those three things. Oh, just apple juice, man. I love apple juice. It's amazing.
Yeah, it is amazing.
Anyone who doesn't like apple juice is a psychopath.
You had apple juice yesterday. We went for lunch.
Yeah, and you didn't comment.
I knew there had to be something about you I'd like.
I ordered apple juice twice, and I expected Ed to make fun of me for it, but it didn't happen.
Yeah, but it was in a nice place, and I felt like they probably did apple juice really well. It wasn't
it was
they were
freshly juiced.
Freshly juiced.
Have you ever had guarana?
No. Didn't they put that in Boost bars once?
Yeah, they did.
So, weird story. There was this guy in Nigeria who, again, I think he was a corrupt politician or some shit, but he was married to a Brazilian woman. And so she opened up this business in Nigeria and she just imported loads of Brazilian stuff over. And for some strange reason, there was this drink, like the equivalent of a Fanta, but made with guarana called Brahma Guarana.
Right.
And it was nuts. It was a big part of my childhood, like the drink. And I never even knew it was Brazilian until one day when I walked past a Brazilian like supermarket, because I live in Croydon and we have a huge population of Brazilians. And I walked past and I was like, oh, and I saw all these things from my childhood. And I was like, I didn't even know all this stuff was Brazilian. That being said, like growing up, there's a huge Lebanese influence in the north. So like we have a lot of Lebanese Nigerians, probably Palestinian ethnically, but they had a Lebanese passport and they moved to Nigeria when I was like a kid. And growing up, there were so many. I didn't know Lebanon was another country. I just thought Lebanese were a tribe in Nigeria. So like there's a Nigerian shawarma, which is different from a regular Lebanese shawarma. Yeah, so there's a whole bunch of like, so that's like a subset of Nigerian cuisine that no one even really talks about outside of Nigeria. But like, yeah, there's Lebanese Nigerian food.
So which drink have you settled on here? Which is the dream drink?
I was going to go with apple juice, but you had it yesterday, so...
You won't choose apple juice because I had it yesterday.
You know, like when someone moves into the neighborhood and you're like, there goes.
I've ruined apple juice for you.
Yeah.
Yeah. I thought I was the only one that liked it.
Spoiled it, man.
No, you know what it is? If I say I like it and I want that, it just sounds like I'm having it because he had it.
Yeah.
I must be.
No, but you had mentioned apple juice before I brought up that he had it yesterday. But
yeah. People listening don't know that. They might think that we agreed to promote apple juice. I think I'll go with the first one, the sorrel drink, the hibiscus leaf drink.
Yeah, the way you described that, saying it's one of the best things you've ever tasted.
Yeah.
I mean, it's got to be. So there's a bit in all the different drinks you were listing that I think a lot of our listeners who've been listening for a long time will listen to and they'll go, why didn't they pick him up on that? And I'll tell you why. So.
Oh, yeah, okay.
When you said mango lassi, a lot of them will be listening and going, now, Christian Gooey Murphy came on the podcast.
Yeah.
Told these guys it's pronounced Lussie.
Yeah.
Ever since then, they've pronounced it Mango Lussie. Why are they not picking Nabil up on this? It's because Nabil is very knowledgeable about loads of things. So I'm assuming that...
Turns out you've been getting it wrong again.
I've been getting it wrong because Krishnan is... Because the newsreader here cannot know as much as Nabil does.
I'll tell you my reason for saying Lussie. I know it's Lussie. Uh-huh. But to be fair, I'm sure there's a whole bunch of stuff from my culture Krishnan Guru Murphy can't say, so fuck him. And, you know.
Finally, this is the feud. This is the feud that people have been waiting for. I mean, if the Bilal Abdul Rashid versus Krishnan Guru Murphy.
If he can say Tuon Shinkafa, the me and Toji, right? Yeah. Then okay, I'll call it Lassie. But till then, it's Lassie Biatch, just like the dog.
Dream dessert.
Chee-hoo. Close second is Fura de Nono, which is for a steamed millet mixed with fresh sour cream, yogurt, and brown sugar and left to chill and soak. We have these, there's a tribe called Fulani people. There's loads in West, like Nigeria, Guinea-Bissau, Guinea-Conakry, and all of that. But you can even find them as far across Africa as in the East, in Somalia, right? And they're mainly cassowaries, like most nomads. And like those that still practice the nomadic stuff, you know, you see some, they walk down the street and they have this like calabash. It's a calabash, it's a big wooden bowl. Mm-hmm. And it's a bowl within a bowl within a bowl. And they carry it on their heads in the summer. And I remember as a kid, you'd stop them and you'd ask for some fura. And somehow they did it in such a way that it was insulated, so it was cold. But there was no technology. It was just the wood and some cloth and stuff. And they would put like a little bit of the millet. They'd mash it and then they'd pour the cream and yogurt into it. And you'd have it in the summer. And it was so good. Millet, especially when it fermented for a little bit, had this lethargic effect on you. It was really relaxing. And it was like, it was sweet and sour, but it was a dessert. It was almost like, imagine the same texture as not even a rice pudding, because there was liquid in there and there was a bit of solid, like, chewiness to it, mm-hmm. but not like tapioca balls. Mm-hmm. I don't know how to explain it, but it was good. It was really good.
Is it? It's obviously sweet because it's got the brown sugar in it, but is that a girl's sweet, or can boys have that one too? It's a manly sweet.
Because it's got spiciness to it as well.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
See, that's one of the few sweet things that you could have and no one could call you any names like that. I was, yeah.
Because it's got a bit of spice to it. Yeah.
You have to suffer a little bit.
Yeah. Uh-huh. It makes you strong. It's a dessert that makes you strong. Yeah.
You have to see when you're
it makes you strong.
It makes you strong. Harsh voice, it makes you strong. So there's that. Or my wife, her auntie makes a dessert that's, I think it's a Pakistani style bread pudding called Shai Tukri. Mm-hmm. And I don't know how it's made. I have no clue. It's one of those things that I think it's better I don't know. And again, it's one of those things that probably if you have four in a week, it will kill you because it tastes that good.
Four?
Yeah, I don't know. Stuff that tastes that good can't be good for you. No, yeah, just, yeah. It can't.
That must, you said four there, so that must mean that one week you had three. Yeah.
And I'm just glad to make you out alive. It just felt too good, bro. I must be sinning somehow. This is too good. Sweet, cinnamony, bready.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's fantastic.
Did you have anything on that? Custard or anything? Or any sort
there's some kind of yellow stuff on it. I don't know whether it's custard. Yeah. I don't know whether it's just flipping condensed. I don't know what it is. There's like, they had like, you know, the dried rose petal thing.
Yeah.
That is in a lot of South Asian desserts. And yeah, I don't know what the hell that stuff was, man, but it was good.
I love how obviously knowledgeable you are about like Northern Nigerian cuisine. And you know everything that goes into it and how to cook it. And this thing was so good that you're like, don't tell me anything. I don't want any knowledge.
It's a dessert, and you know.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, of course.
I can't know how to make it because
yeah, it's got rose petals on it. For God's
yeah, sake. Yeah, you are. You're lucky that you're eating that in Croydon. If the news gets back,
I'm finished. Excommunicated. I'd have to get a Ghanaian passport.
So which one did we decide on?
I think the second.
Yeah.
Just because I don't want my wife being angry with me for not representing.
Yes.
You're representing your whole life here.
Yeah.
You as a person across the board. Yeah. No, Ed's very much
I'm very excited now, Nabil, because this is the part where James reads the menu back.
I'm reading your menu back to you.
So James is now got to attempt to remember the pronunciation of everything that you've listed.
Oh, this is going
to
be good.
Right, Nabil's put his hands behind his head. Yeah, he's reclined in his seat.
Like a lamb.
He's ready.
Surrender.
Also, let's not forget that he is reading a list that has been written by the great Benito.
Here we go. Still water. Poblons of bread. Roti canai with carrier yan. Yep. Starter. Mixed meat and fish. Balangu with masa bread.
Yeah.
Main course. Mee and tau shay with ground rice.
Very good.
Side dish, moi moi.
He's actually smashing.
Drink,
this.
Zobo. Dessert.
Oh, no.
Shahi Tukra. I did all right.
Yeah, you did. You did really well. But I could feel every time Nabil said a dish,
yeah,
I could almost hear you going over it in your head over and over again, practicing how to serve.
This guy's never had a McDonald's. What's going on? Come on. I've got to say this stuff.
Actually, why? In Morocco.
Oh, yeah.
Because there aren't any halal.
No.
McDonald's.
You had a Morocco McDonald's.
Yeah. No, he didn't like
I
that.
Held you in high esteem until now.
Oh, yeah, because you did the pun earlier.
Yeah, we all laughed at fucking Rambro.
That's great.
You know, some people get away with it.
Rambro's brilliant.
Nabil, that menu sounds absolutely amazing.
Sounds incredible.
Like, quite often there's, like, things that me and James are like, we'd like to try that. But the things I didn't know existed, and I can't wait to try them.
I'd eat every single bit of that.
If you'd like to give any of this stuff a try, there's a place called Baba Foundation in Norbury.
Mm-hmm.
And he actually is a Hausa man like me. Mm-hmm. So he's from the north of Nigeria. And like, especially when it comes to our barbecue stuff, he does it all, including grilled pheasant.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so,
I'm doing that.
Wow, Baba Foundation.
Thank you so much, Nabil.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you, Nabil.
Thanks so much to Nabil for coming into the Dream Restaurant.
Thank you, Nabil.
What? That was an amazing episode.
It was an education. It was hilarious.
Yes. We barely had to do any work.
Yeah, thank you for that, Nabil.
Yeah. Just, honestly, just completely enraptured by him. Just sat there.
Yeah.
Let him tell us history about Northern Nigeria, about the food from that area, and then just laughing and laughing and laughing.
Yeah, the debt collected, that was funny.
Yes, that was good.
It's a great time.
Yeah, loved it. Absolutely loved it. And also very happy he didn't say the secret ingredient, purple carrots, James.
Which Benito pointed out, he probably would definitely not pick that because people make out that carrots aren't meant to be orange anyway.
Yeah.
And that's like man-made.
Yes.
And the purple ones are how they're meant to look.
Yes.
So Nabil probably would not trust the orange carrots anyway.
Yeah.
Would prefer the purple ones.
You know, and you know the word orange, James.
Yeah.
For the fruit.
Mm.
And we use it for the colour.
Yeah.
The colour is named after the fruit, which is named after a man.
What?
Yeah.
Jason Orange. Wow.
The fruit was created for, I think it's William of Orange.
Yeah.
Or one of them, those guys.
Yeah.
So they called it the orange.
Yeah.
And then that colour we now call orange.
Wow.
Because of the fruit, because of the guy.
That's crazy.
Yeah, and I'm sure I'm wrong, and someone get in contact and tell me.
You know what else I just thought?
What?
Jason Orange.
Yeah. Yeah.
I never met or heard of anyone else with the surname Orange. Is it just him?
William of Orange?
That's of William of Orange. But yeah. Like, Jason Orange, I've never met anyone else. Hello, my name's Barbara Orange.
Yeah. I guess his family.
Yeah, but where are they? I've never heard of them.
Yeah, but you're not going to have heard of them because, you know, they're not famous, but I'm sure his family, the Oranges.
I've never even heard him talk about them.
Yeah, that's true.
I think it might just be him.
Yeah. Why don't we get him on and ask?
I'd happily get Jason Orange on the podcast.
We know what the secret ingredient will be.
An orange.
Don't forget, Nabil is on tour. The Purple Pill. Go and see that show. It will be absolutely brilliant. Check out his website and social media for details. Come and see me on tour. Hot Diggity Dog, edgamble.co.uk. Buy my book, Glutton, the Multi-Course Life of a Very Greedy Boy. Anything you want to plug, James?
When's this going out? New Year? Happy New Year, everyone. I'll plug my audio sitcom, Springleaf.
Yes.
My album, Part Gate of Purgatory by Temps. My book, James Acaster's Guide to Quitting Social Media. I'm going to go on tour in the new year. As of recording, not sold out yet. Hector's welcome.
You're too busy, man. Why are we
too
doing
talented?
That?
Too goddamn talented.
Yeah, that's true. Apart from with our diaries.
Yeah, not very talented with them.
We will see you next week in the Dream Restaurant.
See you next week in the Dream Restaurant.
Love you.
Love you.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hi, I'm Lucy Beaumont.
And guess what? I'm Sam Campbell. If you enjoy, well, there's another podcast just coming out. Oh, no, the podcast is out now.
Yeah. If people have enjoyed Off Menu, will they enjoy Lucy and Sam's Perfect Brains? I don't know.
There's a bit of crossover. We talk about maybe, you know, a couple of food issues. We talk about cutlery, and that's near food. We reckon it's out now. Not soon, it's now.
Is it on all the platforms?
Oh, it absolutely is. If you like James and if you love Ed, you might get a kick out of this. But yeah, again, no pressure. But yeah, this one's out now. Lucy and Sam's Perfect Brains.